Savage at 3. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB Talk Radio.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling into the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget to download the app. It is free. Any part of the morning show that you want to listen to, that you miss, with our trivia coming up here in a little bit, just go to the website, WBOB.com, WBOB.com. Coming up the bottom of the half hour, Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam is going to join us here in just a little bit. So as we continue to move along, the White House says, hey, there is no collusion. We've been telling you there's no collusion. The Democrats say, no, we think there is collusion. Robert Mueller's investigation still continues to go on. Some say it may happen all throughout 2018. But the House Intelligence Committee came out this past week and said after about 14 months, we have found no collusion. And by the way, when you listen to the one of the committee members, Mike Conaway from Texas, he says not only is there no collusion with Trump and the Republican side or the White House, there was no collusion on the Clinton side in the 2016 meddling of Russia into the election.
That's all that we've reached that point where we've interviewed all the folks we need to. We've looked at some 300,000 documents, 73 interviews that we've done across the course of the city, trying to answer the four questions that were originally set out for the committee to answer. Yes, the Russians tried to interfere with our election process. Yes, they had cyber attacks, active measures going on. We could find no evidence of collusion between either campaign and the Russians.
Now he says there's no collusion on either campaign between the Trump campaign, also with the Hillary Clinton campaign. The White House is being accused of backing away by supporting raising ages of 18 to 21 for those to buy rifles, even AR-15s. But yet they say that no, they're just basing it on a law that they can get passed with general consensus. Here with the latest was Kevin Cork from Fox News.
Call it the art of the possible. The president's plan to improve school safety in the wake of the Parkland, Florida shooting falls well short, his critics say, of his own rhetoric. What the White House is thinking about is studying raising the age to buy long guns to 21, auditing the FBI tip line, establishing rigorous firearms training for qualified teachers, and expanding mental health programs. But no mention of raising the age to buy weapons like the AR-15. White House officials call the plan a much needed first step. The White House effort to treat school safety the same way as banks and airports will be studied by a federal commission headed by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. The president said as much on Twitter, noting things are moving rapidly on this, but not much political support, to put it mildly.
The White House is calling on states to pass so-called RPOs. Those are those risk protection orders. What they do is they allow law enforcement to remove the firearms from individuals who previously demonstrated they are a danger to themselves or others. It would also keep them, by the way, from purchasing new firearms.
Is the White House backing away from the proposed measure? Some have said yes, especially gun control advocates. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary for the White House, says we're going to support a bill that has a general consensus of passage.
I'm saying that the president is pushing forward on things that we know have broad-based support and that we can immediately get done. And we're looking at the best way forward to push these other things through, whether it's on a state level, whether it's on a federal level.
As you know, Governor Rick Scott signed into law the school safety measure that would allow local school boards to support or even their own decisions on local communities, along with the sheriff's department as well, whether or not, as a last resort, our teachers could be armed and school personnel. And yet the Trump administration says they may want to study and have a commission about whether or not local municipalities should arm the local school boards, but should this be a federal issue? The Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, says that's something we're looking at.
Everything is on the table, and part of the job of this commission will be to study that and see if that is advanced ultimately as a recommendation.
Also, another big debate out there, of course, it is the political season about the issue of DACA, immigration, and what should be done. Let me set this story up for you. Here is another issue of a hit and run that took place out of a sanctuary city. Here is Tucker Carlson.
Police say that Ivan Zamaripa Castaneda killed a truck driver in a hit and run. Federal law enforcement wanted him held in custody. But thanks to Denver sanctuary city policies, authorities there refused. They did not hold him. They let him go. ICE asked the Denver Sheriff's Office for notice if Zamaripa Castaneda was going to be released, but deputies in Denver refused. After he posted a $25,000 bond, Zamaripa Castaneda was released at about 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evening. ICE was not notified for more than an hour, and by that time, he was gone.
Why do we set this story up? Because TheNation.com has an article out this week that says it's time for Democrats running in the 2020 presidential election, even members of those running for the U.S. Senate and Congress, now that you should maybe even take a look at the issue of abolishing immigration, customs, and enforcement, better known as ICE. The reason why we just played this clip, we'll get to the other clip in a moment, is because Denver, which is now known as the sanctuary city, decided not to tell federal law enforcement that, again, you just heard the story of the hit and run where it killed the driver. And of course, this illegal alien was allowed to get out on a $25,000 bond and was not notified immigration, customs, and enforcement to deport this individual. Now, this now leads us to the story, which is now being reported by Fox and Friends, about how that those on the Democrats may be looking at advocating abolishing the ICE Immigration Customs and Enforcement Agency.
The left-leaning publication The Nation making a bold statement by publishing this headline a couple of days ago. It's time to abolish ICE. MSNBC host Chris Hayes tweeting out the article, writing, "This is a growing position on the left, and I imagine 2020 Democratic presidential aspirants will have to grapple with it." So is this really what Democrats should run on in 2020?
Big issue, big discussion. This came up on the debate also as well between Democrat strategist Anwan Seawright and from the Hill.com Matt Schlapp about whether or not should ICE be abolished. The Democrats say, well, since we have a broken immigration system and the Republicans can't get their act together, maybe it's time to look at it since they own both members of houses there, the Senate and the House, and they can't get anything done.
Rejected both of them. Also keep in mind that this Congress, both the House and the Senate, is controlled by Republicans. So if Republicans really want to do something on this issue of fixing a broken immigration reform, why not work across the aisle with Democrats to get it done? Because
I remember when Barack Obama had a supermajority close to it in the U.S. Senate, he could have done something about a comprehensive immigration and did nothing.
That's right. No,
well, that's
this is
not true.
He had a super majority in the Senate, and
true.
He had a big majority in the House, and he could have done anything he wanted on this topic. And he got a lot of criticism from the base of his party. They called him the deporter in chief. He refused to do anything on immigration reform. Democrats love this issue when they don't have the power. When they have the power, they like just to play politics with it.
You know, that's a gutsy move, Roger Henderson, for them to even come out. And now we know the nation's very left wing, MSNBC, but for them to even advocate and question, will Democrats even come around by wanting to advocate the immigration, customs, and enforcement? I think the answer will be, well, we got problems, and both sides may say this, we got problems with their immigration and things like that. We got a broken system. Well, do we really have a broken system where we just have people that continue to break the law? That should be the question should be asked. But then again, Democrats looking at the issue in 2020, is this going to be a big national issue of abolishing immigration, customs, and enforcement when it comes to illegal aliens?
I wonder if there's an overlapping enforcement agency that also does Border Patrol, like the Border Patrol police, or maybe the FBI can set up a division where they can enforce the border protection, because somebody's got to do it.
Why would you do that if you're going to abolish ICE?
I guess they're politically posturing themselves, I think.
That's pretty much what it is. So again, is this going to be a smart move for the Democrats? They've come out. And now maybe they believe that Trump's numbers are so low they can actually show their true color. Some have been emailing me today about this very issue. Will Democrats make this a big issue for 2020 and abolishing ICE? The Democrats now have also come out and say that they will support Trump's infrastructure program. Uh-oh, but wait a second. There's a catch. We'll pay for it by repealing the Trump tax cuts. But also, they also want to continue to include of raising the gasoline tax. AAA came out this past week and says gasoline prices we could see in the next month or 2 months as high as $2.70 a gallon. CNBC asked AAA Robert Sinclair, the Democrats have a plan of raising the gasoline tax. The Republicans support it. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, has this time come and gone about raising the gasoline tax to support the president's infrastructure program?
AAA for a long time has been an advocate of raising the gas tax because it's something that we need for infrastructure, for roads, for bridges, for building on all these issues. Did you miss your window if gas prices are going up right now?
Yeah, perhaps it's unfortunate because when they were low, an extra 2, 3, 4 cents a gallon wouldn't have been that big a deal. And now that prices are going back up, it would be harder to absorb for the general public. And we've been in favor of proposals that would raise the gas tax 2 to 5 cents per gallon.
Now, remember, of course, a lot of those running for office, they say, well, the gasoline tax federally has not been raised for 25 years. But then again, on the local levels, it's been raised every other year. So it's going to be quite interesting to see where they go with this. By the way, I'm just kind of curious, what is the amount that they should put the bar at where they think they should raise it? Should if gasoline is a gallon at $2, is that when you raise the gasoline tax?
You know, Ed, I think the gasoline tax is very clever because you can hide the tax within in the cost of the product. And the average person, unless they really study the issue, has no idea what amount of their gas dollars are going to taxes.
More is this as we continue to move along. 222-TALK-222-8255. Democrats say they've come out publicly now. Maybe they feel emboldened. Who knows? Maybe if they even win the election tonight in Pennsylvania with a conservative Democrat, they feel emboldened by eliminating. They've said they want to abolish ICE, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. Are they just showing their true colors? 222-TALK. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 South at St. Augustine Road. We're seeing a lot of backup due to a wreck there. On the Fuller Warren Bridge going south, a broken down car is blocking the center lane. And if you're at I-95 North heading into town from St. Johns County, look out for a broken down car near the International Golf Parkway. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air. Sunny today with the high of 64 degrees. This evening will be clear. Overnight, our low 42. And right now, it's 40 degrees here at WBOB.
Mike Gallagher next. Dennis Prager at noon. The Savage Nation at 3. Mark Levin at 6. Right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up at 729, I've got some trivia. They made you some Jacksonville trivia. Many of you love to win Ed Dean's money. We'll do it around 729, also at 829. Coming up also in a few moments at the bottom of the half hour, Commissioner of Agriculture also running for the Florida governor here in the state of Florida on the Republican aisle. Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam all coming your way. So the big discussion that's pretty much taken place, and Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson, is always the issue of education, Roger. I mean, a lot of people are very passionate about education. One of the areas that I want to get to here in just a brief second is like the gun debate. You have issues within issues within issues, whether it's the NRA, whether or not doctors and teachers should be able to tell law enforcement agencies whether or not this individual that attends the he's or she's class or the doctor says this individual maybe should not be owning a gun. Maybe we should ask him. There's always these issues within an issue. Governor Rick Scott signed into law this past Sunday House Bill 7055, which again expands school choice. The Teachers Association here in the state of Florida are absolutely upset about this. This has to do with one of the measures, of course, is the bully bill that says that, hey, if you're a parent of a kid, you feel that there's not enough disciplinary actions being taken place in a local public school based on kids bullying your kid, that you should send your kid to another school. But then again, a couple of Democrats have brought up a very interesting point. Well, it does not address the issue of the bully themselves. Some would say, then why don't we just do something with the bully instead of keep moving my kid around? But the also with inside this bill, some would say, and again, remember, it's always a controversial item, is the issue of funding of taxpayer dollars for private schools. Now this measure goes a little bit further because the Teachers Association are saying that within this bill that the private schools are not regulated enough. They say that public schools cannot do whatever they want. Many of the teachers have to earn a degree in order to teach in the public schools, but they say that teachers, according to the bill, are not forced, private schools now, that they're not forced to hire teachers to have a college degree, good or bad.
You would think that that would be a selling point, that the public schools could say, you know what, we're better. All of our teachers have degrees, but they're not saying that. They're trying to get the
that's
the,
a great point.
They're trying to get the private schools defunded, at least through vouchers.
So here's the question. Does it matter whether or not they have a college degree? I mean, do we not hire some teachers whether or not they have an education degree? I've known teachers that have had a history degree that have been substitute teachers in the public school. But if the private school does not hire a teacher, and let's say that it's not the degree that necessarily they're teaching there, but let's say they don't have a college degree at all, does that bother you, Roger? I mean, would that bother the average Joe?
I don't think it would, as long as the students are doing well on their standardized tests and they're getting accepted into colleges and universities. How are the students doing? What is the student outcome? I think that's what matters. I do like to see teachers with college degrees, and I would be okay with them pursuing their degree while teaching.
No, Roger, it's not, and by the way, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're not slapping and smacking public school teachers that have college degrees. You're actually saying that should be a selling point. But then again, let me re-ask this. If you've got the best looking schools, you've got teachers, you've got, let's say, school safety, you've got the number one football team, wherever, and yet we've got teachers on he and she with college degrees, and yet they're still not putting them out like the private schools that have less school safety, less money per union, less teacher pay, less college degrees. What does that say about necessarily maybe the system?
I honestly think that there is a disconnect. People don't understand what produces a good student, and a lot of it has to do with the homes they come from, to be perfectly frank with you.
Yeah, what about single-parent homes? You're not just talking about marriage and two-parent right. family homes, correct?
I came from a single-parent home. If the single parent does a good job at making sure the kids do their homework, they're involved, they're making sure that the kid's getting to school on time, and they're helping them with their science project, I think those kids are probably going to do better than a parent that just doesn't have their act together.
So the teachers' unions have come out as of today, and they say that they're still heavily against this bill. They're going to be running against those that supported the bill coming up in the Florida legislature coming up in 2018. They say there's not enough restrictions, there's not enough requirement on private schools. They're even saying that with the area of charter schools. But again, I want to ask the question that if you have a beautiful building out there, brand new, you've got school resource officers, you've got teachers that got college degree, you got more teacher pay, you got more union involvement compared to a private school that has less teacher pay, no union involvement, maybe the teacher does not have a college degree, does that say more or less about the public school system there?
I honestly don't think it does.
How would you answer the argument? You claim it's all based on the home. I don't think it is all based on the home.
I think if a parent's going to get that checkbook out and stroke a check for the tuition every month, chances are they're probably very committed to the kids'
education. Do you believe that the individual who's attending that school, he or she fails, is all based at the home? You believe that?
I don't believe it's all based upon
the majority of it's based on the home?
I think it's a factor, yes, absolutely.
How big of a factor?
I think it weighs more than 50%.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I want to ask the audience, do you believe that? What about the education system itself? Do you believe that if kids are not passing, Roger says that the majority of it is based on the environment or the culture at the home? What about the environment or the culture at the school?
I think that weighs into it because if you have a lot of kids together and they come from homes where there's not a lot of discipline, they may live in at-risk neighborhoods.
So let me ask the question. To your point, let me go further. So let's say there's a two-parent family. Let's say they're church-going.
Okay.
And let's say that they pray together, they worship together, but yet the he or she is not doing well in that public school. Now who do you put the blame on?
Maybe the student just doesn't bring a lot to the table. You know, everybody's got a different level of education. And to be frank with you, gosh, I don't want to get in trouble with my church friends because I, you know.
No, go ahead. You've already done. Yeah, here, let me hand you a shovel while we're at it. Go ahead.
Some churches do not support education of the kids. I was reading an article just over the weekend where there was this one church, if you want to call it that, that was encouraging parents to not to keep their kids out of school so they could be at the meeting late at night and stay at the church service in the middle of the week until 11 o'clock and make Johnny late for school the next
day. By the way, this, if you wanted just to go apples to apples, Roger, and I want to get to another issue in a moment. But if you wanted to go to apples, set aside private schools. And now, again, this is one of the big issues here in Florida as of today, is that, again, the Public School Teachers Unions Association are outraged at this bill that Governor Rick Scott signed into law because it does not require private school teachers to have any college degree when it comes to teaching schools. And they say that is an outrage. But here's the other thing. When you look at apples to apples, the Florida Department of Education's own numbers, and this has been this way for years, shows that when you look at school districts that have less money per teacher, less money per student, Roger, less money per union involvement, let's say in South Florida and other areas, that those schools that get more money per teacher, more money per student, more union involvement, actually when it looks at the grades, do not do much better on those that are getting less money.
Yeah.
So maybe the answer is more money is not the answer.
Not necessarily, because you can't fix, you know, the homes that come through with, you know, fortifying the schools with more money.
Big debate about whether or not President Trump is being truthful with the American people. Are you ready for this big story? Whether or not did he have an illicit affair with a former adult star about 12, 13 years ago. And this has been in the news of Stormy Daniels because somehow there was maybe some hush money that was paid off either during the Trump campaign. Did the president know about it? He denies an affair. But here's the question. This happened 12, 13 years ago. Should this be a big issue? Juan Williams, a columnist and also with the Fox News contributor, says this is nothing but full-blown hypocrisy from church-going people and the evangelicals and those that supported President Trump. Pastor of the First Baptist Church, Robert Jeffries from Dallas, Texas, says there is no hypocrisy here.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Look, evangelicals know they're not compromising their beliefs in order to support this great president. Evangelicals knew they weren't voting for an altar boy when they voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
We supported him because of his policies and his strong leadership. You know, I'm asked the question, what would it take for evangelicals to walk away from President Trump? I think his policy changes, or if he were found to be in an adulterous relationship now, that would cause many people a problem.
12, 13 years ago, you think it has an effect?
You know, this is a question I'd like to hear from some listeners to call in at 222-TALK.
Yeah, I'll give up the number. Just give me the answer.
Would you hold Barack Obama to the same standard and hold him to...
Why not? Why don't you ask, why would not hold Bill Clinton to the same standard?
Well, yeah, would you? Would you? I'd like to know.
Well, why not? I mean, Obama wasn't didn't sleep around.
Right.
He was a good family guy.
And I'm not saying walk away from Donald Trump.
Are you
Trump.
Making this a race issue?
No, not at all.
I'm going to get emails about that. No, but you would hold the same standards. Right. But there was no even a conversation of President Obama being accused by this. Again, I asked the question. This was done 12, 13 years ago. Why are Democrats making this a big issue now?
I like to see people judged on their own actions, not defining right or wrong based upon the hyphen R-O-D after
is
their name.
Is there a statute of limitations 12, 13 years ago when supposedly the president denies it? But, I mean, is this hypocrisy by those of the evangelicals? They say no.
Well,
because he's not committing this as he's in office right now. Do they have a valid excuse on that? Some would say yes.
Well, it may be a good thing he's not doing it right now. But before running for president, he was a regular feature on the Howard Stern Show, which featured that kind of culture.
Yeah, and other conservatives have gone on Howard Stern Show. Does that make them less effective as well?
I don't know. I'd question some things.
Question some things? Guilt by association. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Want to know what you think. Is this hypocrisy? The left says this is hypocrisy by evangelicals. The evangelicals say, no, this is not hypocrisy. This something happened 12, 13 years ago. If it's not happening now, then we should not be talking about this. It's not a big issue. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Talk radio, WBOB.
I-95 South Fuller Warren Bridge. That car that broke down in the center lane is now off to the right, but they're still back up. 95 South at St. Augustine Road. We're looking at a crash on the right. Traffic brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call. Support President Trump's infrastructure plan, but the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Here on our Newsmaker line is the Commissioner of Agriculture, also running for governor here on the Republican aisle here in Florida. Am I right? I always get this wrong. Fifth or sixth generation?
I'm fifth. My kids are sixth generation.
Okay, the kids are sixth generation. Anyway, here on our Newsmaker line, Adam Putnam, how are you today?
Man, I'm great. Good morning. Hope all is well up there. It's kind of a little chilly last breath of spring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, wait, spring kicks in, I guess the last breath of, yeah, I mean, it doesn't even feel like spring right now, but yeah, with the winter. It's all that, you know what, it's all that global warming. I can't get it. It's a global warming, but global warming evidently causes all the record cold temperatures that we've seen this year in Florida. I don't get it. I'm confused.
Well, apparently we're not as smart as Al Gore, so we just have to wait and let him tell us what we need to know, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I know what you mean. The Florida legislature, of course, passed last week the gun restrictions. I mean, we already have a three-day waiting period to buy handguns, by the way, which are used in more shootings than, quote, long rifles here, Commissioner Putnam. But the bottom line is that now we're going to have the ages raised to 18 to 21 and a three-day waiting period. You're on the campaign trail. What are you hearing from the audience out there?
You know, it's very simple. I'm not the gun control advocate. I'm not the gun control candidate. I disagree with the waiting period. The monster down in Parkland actually had a five-day waiting period because Broward County has a longer waiting period than what the rest of the state has. So he bought it over a year ago and waited 5 days to get it. And then, you know, as someone who grew up hunting and shooting and going to the range and plinking cans with my brothers and my father, I think it's wrong to move the age from 18 to 21. Between the time I was 18 and 21, I had bought, sold, and traded, you know, several shotguns and rifles for hunting. And I think that kids who grow up outdoors, grow up using firearms and learning how to respect them and use them safely, they're not the problems. It's the kids who grew up in this fantasy world of violent video games who are, frankly, like the kid in Parkland, who are mentally unfit to own a firearm at any age. And so it's not right to us to strip Second Amendment rights away from everyone when what really broke down in this case was the coordination of mental health treatment for a kid who had had three dozen visits to his house by law enforcement. Two tip lines called in to the FBI. He'd been expelled for weapons violations, and DCF had come by to see him because he'd posted a video cutting himself on TV, on YouTube. So, you know, there was a fundamental breakdown with the shooter in Parkland, and it's not a reason to, I think, to peel back everyone else's Second Amendment rights.
You know, I think I say this in jest. You just, you know, the media that listens to this radio show throughout the state here, it's kind of interesting. You just sat back and you said between when you were a young individual, between 18 and 21, you bought and sold, traded with your friend shotguns. Here's going to be the title. Adam Putnam was doing guns at a young age without a firearms license.
Well, they were all legal, lawful, private sales. You know, I mean, it's what's changing is our culture and the breakdown of families and people, you know, getting kids the treatment that they need. I mean, this kid shouldn't have had a gun at 18, 21, or 41. He was a walking red flag of mental illness. And I hate the fact that as a result of that terrible, terrible tragedy that we continue to learn more about in terms of all the red flags that were missed, I hate that in the wake of that, we are basically pushing back the Second Amendment rights of otherwise adults, 18-year-old adults who can fight and die for their country. And, you know, as a state, look at what we invest in youth hunter education and youth hunter outreach, and now we're basically saying, no, we don't really want you to have any long guns until you're 21. Well, you've kind of missed the window is what my fear is there. I think it's important that young people have these outdoor experiences and learn the safe and respectful use of firearms at an early age.
Commissioner of Agriculture, also running for governor here on the Republican aisle in the state of Florida, Adam Putnam, here on our Newsmaker line. This whole lawsuit by the NRA came out just a few hours after Governor Rick Scott signed in the bill just a few days back. Where do you think this lawsuit's going to go?
You know, I don't know. I'm a farmer, not a lawyer. They've got some pretty smart people who work for them, so I assume that they see that there is an unconstitutional infringement on their Second Amendment rights there. And apparently some others share the view of the NRA, because within hours of them filing suit, someone filed a constitutional amendment with the Constitutional Revision Commission in Florida, who's also an attorney. So it made me think that maybe they realized that the NRA was right, and that there was a reason for them to be to think that this raising of the age was unconstitutional. But, you know, that'll be in the hands of the judges. But I think, you know, it's important for people who claim to stand for constitutional rights to step forward and stand up now, because this is very serious business that Florida is undergoing, and we do need to focus on securing our schools and creating a safe learning environment. But this waiting period is not going to change anything. It would not have affected the outcome of Parkland, and raising the age of long guns from 18 to 21 is to me, you're otherwise an adult. You can fight and die for your country, but you can't go buy a shotgun to go dove hunting. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't agree with it.
Are you surprised that it went this far? I mean, I've asked this question of several elected leaders. I've always been kind of curious, because remember, within about a week to 2 weeks after the Parkland shooting last month, that they were even talking about even banning certain assault weapons. I mean, could this thing have gotten much worse? And are you a little surprised that this passed, because you have come out against this? A few other Republicans have supported this. Was this a little surprising on the lopsidedness of those that supported this measure of gun restrictions?
Well, we're learning more and more about, you know, the threats and the arm twisting that took place on this package, things that were withheld from the budget that affected members' districts. You know, story is far from being written, and I think there was a lot of good that could have been done, and frankly, there was some good that was done in getting the resources for school resource officers, hardening our schools, controlling access to the campus. There are things that that they did attempt to do, and that there's more that could have been done to secure our school campuses and to make sure that those who are mentally unfit don't have access to firearms. But along the way, they picked up these gun control measures, which I just fundamentally disagree with.
Now, you oversee, it's interesting, the Commissioner of Agriculture, the Tax Collector's Office, the Commissioner of Agriculture, of course, oversees the concealed weapons permits. What have we heard? I know the media doesn't really cover a lot of this, but after the Parkland shooting, did we see an uptick on people getting their concealed weapons permits? I heard even some of these gun shows were pretty much flooded over the last several weeks. Have they been an uptick because of security measures, where you even get some people say, hey, if it could happen at this school, it could happen at my school, I want to be prepared just in case?
Well, you do, after any of these incidents, and particularly when these incidents are followed by discussions about additional controls on firearms, you do see an uptick in both sales and interest in obtaining a concealed weapons license. And we've seen some of that as well, and we'll see whether that's just a temporary uptick or whether it's a sustained increase. As you know, Florida's the number one in the nation for law-abiding citizens exercising their Second Amendment rights through obtaining a CWL, about 1.8 million. And the crime rate among those individuals is virtually nil. The crime rate using a firearm is even less than virtually nil. So they're not the ones who are committing these crimes. And it's important that we separate law-abiding citizens who want to enjoy and exercise their Second Amendment rights from this monster down in Parkland. Guys, I hate to peel out, but I've got to step into a breakfast meeting. But thank you so much.
That's fine.
thanks for having me on for a few minutes, and we look forward to circling back and chatting again.
Hey, good to talk to you. Yeah, I was gonna let him go anyway. But
Zoom.
Don't you love it?
He's a busy guy.
Wait. Did he just ditch me because he wanted to eat some chow?
That's what he said. Yeah, he said he had a meeting. So you know.
No, he had a breakfast meeting. Yeah. Probably was it going, or a lunch meeting or dinner meeting? It's probably at the Cracker Barrel. Anyway, Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam here on the radio show. And I was going to ask him, but you know, remember after the Pulse nightclub shooting, this was supposed to be a big issue for Democrats. I wonder if this becomes more of an issue in 2018 here in the state of Florida.
I think it will. We've been talking about it a lot. People around the country have been talking about it a lot.
We will continue on this issue more as we continue to move along. All right, let's get to our trivia. Hold on, wait. It's 7:42. Are you guys ready for this? All right, here's Win Ed Dean's money. Also at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here's a little Florida history. Who was the Florida governor during the war between the states? I kind of PC'd that term. Or did I PNC, politically incorrect that term? Who was the governor of the war between the states here in the state of Florida? Get that answer correct. You can win Ed Dean's money at 222-TALK, 222-8255. 42 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
I-295 South at U.S. 17. There's an accident involving several cars. It seems to be clearing up right now. I-95 South at St. Augustine Road. We're still seeing backup due to a crash there. And if you are going north at 95 in St. Johns County, International Golf Parkway, look out for an accident this sunny today. We'll see a high of 64 degrees, clear this evening with a low of 42, and right now it is 41 at WBOB.
Gallagher is next. Prager at noon. Savage at 3. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB. Talk. Radio.
Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling into the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget to download the radio app. Thousands of you do it. Many of you listen on your smartphones. Just go to wbob.com. WBOB.com and just download the app. Again, it is free, and then you can carry us anywhere you would like, any part of the show that you've missed. 222-TALK, 222-8255, a little Florida history to win Ed Dean's money, is name me the governor of Florida during the war between the states. So some of you out there, that's known as the Civil War. If you can get that answer correct, we can throw your name into win Ed Dean's money. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here's also another trivia question. Bill Clinton signed there was a welfare bill. Hey, that's right. We're getting welfare as we know it. Every big government's over. How many times did it happen before he signed it into law? Was it proposed? How many measures before he signed it into law? You get that answer correct, we'll throw you in the mix to win Ed Dean's money at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Ed. Ed, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm well. I believe the answer to your question between the governor, between the Civil War, was Madison Perry?
No, sir. That is not the correct answer.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Madison Perry, I think that was one of them that was on that list, but that was not that one. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Democrats are now becoming a little bit cocky on some of their issues, some would say, when it comes to the issue of illegal immigration. Let me set this story up. Denver, Colorado is a sanctuary city, and there has been yet another hit and run where the individual died and Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, ICE, was not notified about deporting the individual who was able to be bonded out. Here was Tucker Carlson tonight. Wait till you hear this story.
Police say that Ivan Zamarripa Castaneda killed a truck driver in a hit and run. Federal law enforcement wanted him held in custody. But thanks to Denver Sanctuary City policies, authorities there refused. They did not hold him. They let him go. ICE asked the Denver Sheriff's Office for notice if Zamarripa Castaneda was going to be released, but deputies in Denver refused. After he posted a $25,000 bond, Zamarripa Castaneda was released at about 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evening. ICE was not notified for more than an hour, and by that time, he was gone.
Now, the reason why we set this story up, because how many times have we heard this? Where an illegal alien, not the first time around, but the second, third, remember Kate Steinle's shooter, fifth time around, committed a felony, entered this country illegally. Denver is a sanctuary city that, again, a hit and run. The driver was killed by an illegal immigrant, illegal alien, was able to be, I'm setting the story up, was bonded out, Roger Henderson, for $25,000. Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement was not notified on purpose, according to the news reports, by officials in the city of Denver. The reason why I set this story up, TheNation.com, a very left-wing, liberal news publication, and you're going to hear this also with those like Chris Hayes on MSNBC, that now Democrats have come out openly and advocated, maybe it's time, because it's a broken-down immigration system, maybe it's time we should abolish ICE program, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. Here is the story from Fox News.
The left-leaning publication, The Nation, making a bold statement by publishing this headline a couple of days ago. It's time to abolish ICE. MSNBC host Chris Hayes tweeting out the article, writing, "This is a growing position on the left, and I imagine 2020 Democratic presidential aspirants will have to grapple with it." So is this really what Democrats should run on in 2020?
Now, let me ask an interesting question. And let me play devil's advocate. Roger Henderson, I can't believe, I mean, I was shocked when I read this story, how Democrats, I mean, they're openly advocating abolishing ICE. And the reason why they say is because it's a broken down system. Well, do not some say, let's say on the conservative aisle, well, you know, the IRS doesn't truly work. It's broken down. We're giving benefits to those that should not be given benefits. They're overcharging taxpayers. Maybe we just need to abolish the system. I do hear some of that on the conservative aisle. Do the left have a viable argument?
Oh, gosh. You know, if it's a broken
based
system,
on that,
it's something we need to have for this country. If it's broken, let's fix it. And I also think that we as a country need to get on the same page with respect to the immigration. If it's a federal issue, let the Supreme Court say, okay, whatever the federal government says on immigration, everybody's got to go along with that.
I want to know what you think. 222-TALK-222-8255. Again, why do you think the liberal left come advocately now? Openly now advocates abolishing immigration, customs, and enforcement. Again, the article from TheNation.com. This was a big debate on Fox News, and the Democrats, as you will hear from Ashton Seawright and from TheHill.com, Matt Schlapp, the argument again, well, the reason why we need to abolish it from the left is because it's a broken immigration system, and all. And by the way, the Republicans can't get their act together.
Rejected both of them. Also, keep in mind that this Congress, both the House and the Senate, is controlled by Republicans. So if Republicans really want to do something on this issue of fixing a broken immigration reform, why not work across the aisle with Democrats to get it done? Because
I remember when Barack Obama had a supermajority close to it in the U.S. Senate, he could have done something about a comprehensive immigration and did nothing.
That's right. No,
well, that's
this is
not true.
He had a super majority in the Senate,
that is
and
true.
He had a big majority in the House, and he could have done anything he wanted on this topic. And he got a lot of criticism from the base of his party. They called him the deporter in chief. He refused to do anything on immigration reform. Democrats love this issue when they don't have the power. When they have the power, they like just to play politics with it.
So again, if it's a broken down system, why is it a broken down system, or is it just people breaking the law?
Yeah, I think if there's any broken down to the system, it's because of the sanctuary states and cities.
Yeah, sanctuary states. And so because I guess if it doesn't work, we should just abolish ICE, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. Those are what the Democrats say. Want to know what you think. 222-TALK-222-8255. Tucker Carlson also asked the question, when it comes to the issue of government funding, well, how come the Republicans who advocate cutting government to make it much smaller, how come they haven't done anything about the issue of Planned Parenthood?
Congressional Republicans have repeatedly promised to defund Planned Parenthood. That hasn't happened or even come close to happening. Even now, the country's biggest abortion provider gets more than $500 million taxpayer dollars every year. Huh. Would Democrats be okay if the NRA got half a billion a year? Would they let that stand?
That is such a great question. Can you imagine the NRA getting half a billion dollars a year from the federal government to exist, but yet we allow Planned Parenthood? This question was asked of Congresswoman Dianne Black. She says, well, even though the Republicans run the Senate, that's who you need to look at.
Twice now, with my leadership, we have passed in 2015 and in 2017 a measure in the House, sent it over to the Senate, and they have not done the work. I will challenge anybody that's watching this show that's pro-life to call your senator and ask them, where do they stand on this issue? Because we have done our work in the House. They need to do their work in the Senate. Well, they shouldn't even be using their money for that, but they do raise additional dollars through the communities, and that's fine if they want to spend their money that way, but we don't need to be having taxpayer dollars going to abortion, period. The end of that. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Title X dollars, you'll see that they were set up for family planning. Abortion is not family planning.
No.
It's family destruction.
Some would say she has a valid point. 55 minutes after the hour, your call's coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
I-295 south of U.S. 17, there's an accident with several cars, and on the Fullhorn Bridge going south, there's a wreck off to the side causing delay this morning. Today with a high of 64 degrees, clear this evening, and the low will be 42, and right now it's 41 here at WBOB.
Who do you want to go with? You want to go with Gary? Who do you want to go with first?
Okay, let's go to...
Just tell me who called in first. That's
okay.
Who we'll go with.
I think it was Joe.
Joe, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
I just want to say your show is addicting. I wake up every morning looking forward for it.
I appreciate that, man. You'd say more addicting is winning my money, so...
Yeah, okay. I got the... I think I was the answer. It was actually three governors, and it was Abraham Allison, John Milton, and Sean Perry.
I just need you to pick one.
Oh, it was, let's go with John Milton.
That's the correct answer, John Milton. It could be a multiple choice. I love it. John Milton's the correct answer. Who was the governor of the war between the states here and the state of Florida? So, Joe, if you stay on hold, we'll get your name and information, and then you can win Ed Dean's money. We got more coming up here in hour number three at 222 Talk. 222-8255. This whole Russia collusion thing, is it done with since the Republicans say there's nothing there? We'll have that discussion coming up here as well. And news organizations trying to rebrand themselves like MSNBC and CNN and Fox. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, well, does it still report fake news? We'll have that discussion coming up next right here at hour number three. This is Talk Radio WBOB.